The cavalry was led by Spaghetti Davy, who back in them days was known as a very handsome gentleman. And this was the late 70s. If you called a gentleman a handsome gentleman, you'd better hope that everyone agreed with you, or they would think that you had certain peculiar tendencies. Of course, Spaghetti Davy was a dog. So everyone agreed. In fact, the 4th Cavalry Regiment had missed a battle the week before because they was playing fetch with that dog. And the high command tried to replace him.
Welcome back, everyone. It's been an interesting couple of weeks here around Friendly Town. In the last month or so, we've gone virtual. We rescued ourselves from virtual reality. That was a lot of fun. We had a couple of amazing comics for a special showcase a couple weeks ago. That was a blast as well. It's been a fantastic month here in Friendly Town. So we thought that it might be a good excuse for us to, you know, with our National Independence Holiday coming up, just to get together and share a few stories about, you know, recounting that glorious War of Independence. In tonight's episode, Friendly Town recounts its War of Independence. My name is Mayor Tyler. Just so you all know, this is being recorded for Friendly Town Radio, which is available on iTunes. Go there and leave us a review, 5 stars, if you will. Put a review on there that is obviously not written by one of us. It'd be good to have one of those on there. More subscribers, too. Tell your friends about the show. The turnout this week is fantastic, and we love seeing new smiling faces here at our Friendly Town City Council meetings. A couple quick shout-outs before we get this steam train rolling. First of all, between the show that we had on Saturday here at the Pilot Light and tonight's show, we've had 2 incredible cakes provided by the amazingly talented and lovely Kate Nixon right there. Give it up for her. You can sample Kate's wizardry over at, can I say where you work?
Yeah.
Okay, VG's Bakery. VG's Bakery out in Hardin Valley. They're a fantastic bakery.
Farragut.
All right. Close. I almost got it. It's like throwing a dart at the map and just missing. Shh. Speaking of witty retorts, give it up for your bartending mayor, Todd Lewis. With no further ado, I'd like to introduce a very special guest host for this week. It's someone who is, he's hosted Friendly Town many times, and he's brought his own special wit and wisdom as only the finest Friendly Town documentarian possibly could. Our resident Ken Burns, please welcome your host for this evening, Sean Cimino.
More shrill than I thought it would be. The year was 1979. The airwaves were hot with disco fever, as our musicians told us to knock on wood and ring my bell. Christopher Walken was the sexiest man alive, and revolution was brewing. I'm Sean Cimino, head of the Friendly Town Historical Society, and welcome to Friendly Town Recounts its War of Independence. Yes, you may give it up for that. Now, tonight we will have a number of storytellers coming up and telling many of the many bloody battles that occurred during our War of Independence, which took place between May of 1979 and July 2nd, 1981, which always gets overshadowed by this other Independence Day that everyone loves so fucking much. But today, no, we take back our independence. We will not go quietly into that night, whatever else Bill Pullman said in Independence Day. So to start off tonight, I figured I would give recount the initial days of the Friendly Town War of Independence, and just get you in the mindset so that you can hear about all these other great storytellers who are going to come up and tell about the battles and the people. Maybe they'll even reenact some of the historical figures that we know and love from our Friendly Town history books so much. So let me set the scene for you. Again, like I said, summer, May, whatever, 1979, Friendly Town, on the brink of revolution. Now, as you may remember, Friendly Town did not exist before this time. It was simply an unincorporated territory. It was officially a part of the Qediopolis Empire, and parts of it were taken over by Bonhomieburg, our hated next-door neighbors. Our iconic F-shaped lake in the middle of town, it was shaped like a B. It was a B, and we filled it in afterwards to make it look like an F, but you can kind of still tell if you looked in the satellite imagery that it used to be a B. But we stand by our F-shaped lake. But back then, we were trampled and trod upon by the snooty aristocrats of Qediopolis. We didn't even have a name back then. We were referred to as the Territory, or Poo-Poo Town. They looked down on us, and they controlled us. And now, historians like to conjecture what the exact causes of the Friendly Town War of Independence were. And there are many different factors to take into, you know, cultural and economic, but most can point to a singular event or series of events that tipped the scales in favor of war. And the first one came when the fat cats in Qediopolis decided that they were going to take over censorship of the Friendly Town Monoplex. That was the summer 1979 when Alien was supposed to be released. Everyone in Friendly Town was like, a movie about an alien that bursts out of people's chests. Finally, something I can relate to. But then the fat cats in Qediopolis decided it was too scary for us. And to be fair, the residents of Friendly Town were very prone to nightmares and bedwetting, so maybe that had some basis in fact. But then they came for the Muppet movie. Yes, the beloved Muppet movie was to be released that summer at the Friendly Town Monoplex, but the fat cats at Qediopolis decided that the Muppets were really just gay communist propaganda, and they banned it outright. And nobody gets between the gay communist puppets and the people of Friendly Town. Woo! So a group of dedicated cinephiles met up in Tansy Bobody's chiropractic clinic and gas station in the dead hours of the night. They called themselves the Society of Friendly Friends, and there they hatched a plan. They were sick and tired of the way they were trod upon and spat upon and having their gay communist puppets kept from them. So they hatched a plan. They watched an episode of Schoolhouse Rock where they talked about the American Revolutionary War, and the one where it's like, grab your powder, grab your gun, report to General Washington. That one, you know that one, yes. They watched that episode of Schoolhouse Rock, and also the one about how a bill becomes a law, and also just the one about interjections, just because that one is fantastic. And they hatched a plan that would see them go into a campaign of bloodshed and violence for the next 2 years. For I tell you, that night, Tansley Bobody became more than just a gas station attendant and chiropractor. He became a leader of rebels, a leader of Friendly Friends. For a few nights later, they heard that a shipment of film reels was on its way to Cape Cordial via boat in the hospitable harbor. And so they all dressed up as Fozzie Bear and Miss Piggy and got on their homemade pontoon rafts and slowly paddled out into the middle of the harbor, where they intercepted the tanker, which they thought was carrying film reels. And they climbed aboard and overtook the captain of the boat. Very easily, the residents of Cape Cordial are all big wussies compared to us hardy stock here in Friendly Town. But only these revolutionaries were kind of bad at their job. And it turns out that the boat was not filled with film reels, but full of hummus. And need I remind you, in these days, Friendly Town had no hummus factory. No hummus factory to be found within the bounds of Friendly Town. We had to pay for our hummus to be piped in from Bonhomieburg and from Convivialville and lands beyond. And we were taxed. We were taxed beyond our belief. And so, in a fit of rage, these Muppet-clad revolutionaries unleashed the whole tanker full of hummus into hospitable harbor. It killed all the fish. People started starving really quickly. You had no idea how much fish people were eating back then. Fish and hummus were like 90% of Friendly Town's diet back in those days. So they emptied out all the hummus out into the harbor, and then they rammed the boat right in Friendly Town, and that was the shot. That was the shot at Lexington and Concord. It was the empty hummus tanker into the, what was at that time, a warehouse full of fireworks, which would later become Jerry Running Man's fireworks and speedboat emporium. But at that time, it was just known as the Poo Poo Town Fireworks Warehouse. It rammed into there and exploded. Killed about 500 people right off the bat, so that was pretty bloody. But historians can agree that that was the first shot. I mean, after that, the governor of QEDopolis, he called for some luchador vampire mercenaries from Migovania to come down, and then that just cued more riots, and before you know it, Tainsley Bowbody was named commander of the Friendly Friends Army with his second-in-command right-hand man, the Krampus. Yes, that's right. The Krampus was real. He was killed in the Friendly Town War of Independence. Perhaps you will hear more about him later in the show. But that was the start of the Friendly Town War of Independence. And so now, to tell you more about this historic event and to remember those who have fallen, I would like to invite up to the stage Mr. St. Thomas Ledoux to tell the story.
Oh man, fucking love Friendly Town, the fourth of Friendly Town. Oh man, because we're the best town, man. All right, what do I make you nervous with this out here? It's my right, okay? Sorry, Friendly Town's an open carry town. I'm allowed to carry at any given time a small handhold foldable saw. All right, it's in our constitution, it's how we won this country that is a city, all right? I'm tired of these bleeding heart liberals. They tell you, you know, they're like, oh, you know, why you gotta kill civilians when you're waging independence? You know, so you can't not kill, all right? So I don't want to hear it. It's just how it is. And sorry, I faded there for a second. I can't get too fucked up because if I get drunk, I get night terrors, and the Krampus is standing beside my bed, and he won't go away, and I just want to scream at him. I just want to say, make Friendly Town great again, but the Krampus, I can't do it. You know, people, they think we're not the best town. And, you know, people give Mayor Tyler a hard time. They say, Mayor Tyler, he's not a good mayor. Mayor Tyler, he's authoritarian. Mayor Tyler's committing a genocide. And, you know, I just appreciate Mayor Tyler because he comes up here and he tells it like it is. I feel like I could have a beer with Mayor Tyler. I have had a beer with Mayor Tyler. And, you know, we got to keep those lowlifes from Chum Village out of our town, because they come here and they want to take our jobs because we've got the best hummus factory. Ow. We got the best hummus factory and they want it. And they're just mad because we bombed their hummus factory. And now they think they're entitled to our hummus. Ow. You think I don't know how to use this? All right, I was raised around small handheld folding saws, okay? They're a part of my family. My dad was a handheld folding saw. So I don't want you to tell me it's not all right. Because this is how this country was... This is how this country was won, okay? I mean, I would sign up for the Friendly Town Standing Army, the Friendly Town Militia, but I got this thing with my ankle. it doesn't like marching, but it's not because I don't care. All right, hey, trust me, but you let me over at Chum Village, I'd saw all them sons of bitches in half. I tell you right now, okay? But they can't handle me. That's why I gotta stay back to protect the citizenry. I love this country. I just think, man, I think of all the sacrifices that Tyler makes for us. He's like our dad, and he puts in a lot of work genociding those people for Chum Village, and people don't ever appreciate Tyler. They just want their, you want your cushy lives, you want everything you have here, you want your standard of living. Well, where do you think it comes from? You want to give people in Chum Village a fair share. Where do you think they're going to get it from? Where do you think they're going to take it from? You, buddy. You think all that stuff just comes out of nowhere? No. You want something in this world, you got to take it. When shit hits the fan, guess what? I'll be ready with my handheld folding saw. Because I know nothing's free in this world. You think life's fair? It's not fair. That's why we're a town. Because we weren't fair. That's why I have to dispose of all of my cans on my forehead, because we don't have a recycling center. Life's not fair, okay? But sometimes you gotta make with what you got. This ain't a perfect town, but it's the best town we got. It's the only town we got. We're not allowed in other towns. They don't respect our visas. If you don't mind, I got a can I gotta dispose. Does that look like the worst redneck ever, you, buddy? Yes. I hope you've all learned a valuable lesson about your country, and you appreciate something. If anyone wants to touch my saw later, I'll be in the back.
Another kind round of applause for Chief of Neurosurgery, Mayor St. Thomas Ledoux. Our next story to the storyteller, who is going to regale us with a tale, is Mayor Clinton Ricks. Kind round of applause for Mayor Clinton Ricks.
I'm actually Clinton Ricks III. I'm here on behalf of my granddad who fought in the war. He sent me to tell the truth about what happened. He said it was hot, and it was hard for a person like him to get a real good seat in those times. People who had really soft butts. Because most of the materials back in the day are very uncomfortable, and they went straight to the bone, he said. I honestly don't know if he actually fought in the war, because he was a mailman most of his life. He said he walked past it a couple of times and thought it'd be interesting to see what would happen. He said he didn't know why people fought so hard for a city that had a big F in the middle of his lake. It kind of seemed ironic. But apparently they won, and apparently he stayed. There are a lot of blank periods in his story. Like, sometimes he's on the Chum Village side, sometimes he's on the Friendly Town side. It depends on which alcoholic beverage he is consuming that day. I usually just listen to get $20. I was gonna ask him more questions, because in history class, they tell us to talk about things that are specific to my family, but I just don't know. So actually, I think that most of what he said sounded true, especially after seeing that fella come up here before me and try to smash a can on his head. He said the people back then just really like getting warm soda all on their shirtless bodies. That was really what the war was fought about. if you needed to wear a shirt or not to do that. My granddaddy has great job security, so I don't think he really cares about people taking his jobs. He just wants a good seat in this town and for the truth to be told about the Revolutionary War of 1799 between Friendly Town and whoever else was named earlier in this segment of the show. I'm Clint Ricks III. I'm going to take an Uber home now. Thank you. Give it up for Sean.
Mayor Clinton Ricks here, next up on the stage to regale us with a tale, is Mayor Andrew McNicholas. I don't know if it will be in the legal nature or not, but we'll leave that up to him. Thank you.
It will sort of be, as...
You guys break shit, apparently.
Don't call the cops on me. So I did some late night archiving, and those bastards at Chum Village tried to stop me from getting this to y'all. But this is the original battle cry and speech from the diary entry of General Bowbody. I think it has never been heard or seen before, and so I'll try to do a dramatic interpretation of it, but it's kind of hard because there's a lot of old-timey language. As you all know, they were inspired by the American Revolution, so there's a lot of throwbacks to 1776s and being a patriot. So here we go. Ever since I arrived to a state of manhood and acquainted myself with the general history of mankind, I have felt a sincere passion for liberty. The history of nations doomed to perpetual slavery and consequence of yielding up to tyrants their natural-born liberties. I read with a sort of philosophical horror so that the first systematical and bloody attempt at Bohemianburg to enslave Friendly Town thoroughly electrified my mind and fully determined me to take part with my country. And while I was wishing for an opportunity to signalize myself in its behalf, directions were privately sent to me to raise the Blue Mountain Boys, and if possible with them to surprise and take the fortress of Qediopolis. This enterprise I cheerfully undertook, and after first guarding all the several passes that led thither, to cut off all intelligence between the garrison and the country, made a forced march from Bennington and arrived at the lake opposite of Qediopolis on the evening of the 30th day of May in 1981. With 230 valiant Blue Mountain Boys, it was with the utmost difficulty that I procured boats to cross the lake. However, I landed 83 men near the garrison and sent the boats back for the rear guard commanded by Colonel Seth Warner, which I believe upon hearing Professor Simino speak that was probably Colonel Krampus. But the day began to dawn, and I forced myself under necessity to attack the fort before the rear could cross the lake, and that was viewed hazardous. I harangued the officers and soldiers in the manner following. I'm a pioneer, I'm an explorer, I'm a human, and I'm coming. I'm animated, I'm alive, my heart's big, it's got hot blood going through it fast. I like to fight too, I like to eat, I like to have children, I'm here, I got a life force. This is a human, this is what we look like, this is what we act like, this is what everybody was like before us, this is what I am, I'm a throwback, I'm here. I've got the fire of human liberty, I'm setting fires everywhere, and humans are turning on everywhere. Soldiers, imagine you live in a world that's fake. Who are your heroes? The patriots. Imagine you live in a world that's totally plastic. Who are your enemies if you're evil? The patriots. We are the future. We are the leaders. We are 1776. We are those that were given the mantle and the birthright by George frickin' Washington and Thomas Jefferson. They taught you to not know who they are and hate them. No, they were renowned around the world. George Washington for weeks had dysentery and lost about a third of his weight and climbed around in freezing ice with his men where they would go on marches at night and they'd lose 10, 15 men just in one battalion, freezing to death. To at dawn, battle the Germans 3-1 in places like Trenton in 30 below temperatures, in 20 plus mile marches in the dark with men dying all around him and George Washington with diarrhea running out his pants on top of that horse, marching to kick ass, marching not to give up, taking action. That's who we come from and we let these hunchback scum rule us. I will never submit to you. And the human spirit is rising. You will not turn us into animals. You will not poison us anymore. You will not kill us. Our spirit transcends all you've done to us. It's simple. Stop feeling like you don't have power. Stop feeling pathetic and weak. Break out of your television-induced trance. Starts with a war growl. Starts with getting fired up, staring at yourself in the mirror, showing some teeth, saying, I'm a human being. I have dignity. I'm going to resist. I'm going to start recognizing the propaganda. I'm going to break free from it. I'm not going to fight with my family. I'm going to organize with my family. And we'll realize that we're under attack by the social engineers. I'm not going to fight with my neighbors. We're going to organize. Ah! We know we're under attack. We know it. We're breaking the conditioning. Ah! We're coming for you, QEDopolis, for Friendly Town! And on that morning, we just beat the shit out of them with this amazing archival data and the fact that he blew his minds out fighting for Friendly Town. Thank you.
A rousing speech from Mayor Lucas McCrary. Give it up again for him. Give it up again for him. That was a weak clap, everyone. I know this is a polite historical society meeting, but you can do better than that. Next up is a man who has studied the Friendly Town War of Independence in depth. He's done much of scholarly research and got his degree in Friendly Town War of Independence Studies. Please welcome Dr. Mayor Tyler Sonicson.
I want to address a couple of inconsistencies in what I've heard tonight. As someone who earned his PhD in FUIS from FU, that was the first person to graduate from FU with a degree in FUIS. Is that the acronym for it? Yes, okay. I didn't have time to double think about it. Anyway, I was going to go into great detail defending the genocides that I had to pull. You know, it wasn't one of those optional things. It was like, oh, okay, you know what? I didn't really want to kill all the people who didn't know you could turn right on red, but I just figured it would make society better. Yeah. I didn't, you know, it wasn't something, like, I was shouldered into making vague booking punishable by death, but I had to do it. You guys understand? I'm sure you guys understand. You've all been there before. Yeah, of course you do. All the rednecks love me. Because I can't think critically. Jump on that. That's what I do. But I'm here to instead tell you what my dissertation was about in Friendly Town War of Independence Studies. It was a focus, a thorough historical, critical analysis of the conditions under which we lived in the year 1979. Here's an excerpt from it. Me. Got to wet my whistle with old style. Believe this was canned in 1979. Shakedown! 1979. Cool kids never had the time. On a live wire write-up off the street, you and I should meet. June bug skipping like a stone. With the headlights pointed at the dawn, we were sure we'd never see an end to it all. And I don't even care to shake these zipper blues. And we don't know just where our bones will rest to dust, I guess. Forgotten and absorbed into the earth below. I owe a lot to the archives at the Friendly Town Historical Society. We call them the Corgan Files. They are just chock full of information about the year 1979. However, I issued the following cogent warning. Double cross the vacant and the bored. They're not sure just what we have in store. Morphine City, slipping dues down to sea. Morphine City being the former name of Bono Meberg. That's a whole other history lesson right there. Why they changed the name to Bono Meberg from Morphine City. I think that it was a little bit truth in advertising, if you guys catch my drift. Anyway, back to my dissertation. That we don't even care, as restless as we are. We feel the pull in the land of a thousand guilts and poured cement. lamented and assured to the lights and towns below, faster than the speed of sound.
How fast?
Faster than we thought we'd go beneath the sound of hope.
Oh, shit. This is a parable about suburbia. Well, you guys all know Justine, right? You guys remember Justine? I remember Justine. And one thing about Justine, Justine never knew the rules. Hung down with the freaks and ghouls. No apologies ever need to be made. I know you better than you fake it to seek. God, this is lazy songwriting.
that we don't even care to shake these zipper blues. And we don't know just where our bones will rest. I
remember going into battle against QEDopolis, singing this song. James Eha showed up and did a guitar solo and charged us right up. And we ran in just screaming, "The world is a vampire!" And then we just went, just fought the shit out of him. And it was beautiful. But don't remember, the internet connection slowed down. And it's been 13 years at least since I've listened to the song. but let me heed you this final warning. The street heats the urgency of now. As you see, there's no one around. And that, my friends, is the story of 1979, told in a Tom Waits style, as was the way we did it at the time. You know, we didn't have drums, we didn't have fifes. All we had were our Tom Waits impressions. And we bonded together, raided the Corgan files. Really hope that they don't sue us. Because you guys follow what Billy Corgan would sue us if he found out I just did that. But so nobody tell him.
I give that presentation a 0. Folks, we have a very special treat for you all tonight. Now, tonight we've mostly heard from people who have been studying the events of the Friendly Town War of Independence and have done in-depth studies and have only heard about it. But tonight, you're going to hear tales from someone who actually lived through it. Please give a warm welcome to an eyewitness to the Friendly Town War of Independence, Mayor Shane Ryan.
Sometimes I still see it. I still hear it. You maggots don't know anything. Y'all been talking about your memories and your history books, but I was there. Private Second Class Shane Ryan reporting from the Friendly Town 5th Disco Regiment, serving under Sergeant Barry Gibb. It's a hard time. They talk about the wars and the movies, you know. Simon O, he talks about the movies, but people forget it was actually music played a big role in it, too. Because throughout the entire month of May 1979, disco was no longer the number one song played on the local radios. It was reunited by Peaches and Herb for 4 fucking weeks. The people in Bon Amiburg just kept playing that song over and over. And we couldn't take it anymore. And so we put on our chains and popped our collars and went to war. I lost a lot of friends. Not gonna lie, it's not pretty out there. When you hustle, you die. I can still hear it when we marched into battle. had the only fully functioning disco backup fife and drum corps. We were going to tell those guys what for. We're going to let them know. We're going to ring the freedom bell. We're going to win this. We're going to declare our independence from Bonami Berg, from Amigovania, or whatever the hell. That's actually my favorite one. I don't know why. But here we are, marching out into the field. God. See the bell bottoms flying everywhere. One guy on a CB radio calling for a medic. 10-4, 10-4, buddy. I know you're 20. You're in heaven now. CB radio joke. No, you get it. You're too young. Anyway, it was a hard time. It was a hard time. There were bad girls. We were cool with that. They were actually the harder fighting group. This song. Sometimes I go to the Veterans Lodge, the veterans, the VFW, the veterans of the Friendly Town Wars, and we all sit there in our powdered wigs. Never really sure why the fuck we chose powdered wigs. But here we are, and we sit, and we have a style. Used to be old, it's old style now, style then. And we do that, and we just have time. We just drink, and we talk about our lost buddies, Lieutenant Travolta. It was hard. It was hard. A lot of people are lost. I don't want to bring you down. I want you to remember this is a time to celebrate the freedom you have. Oh, Lord. Yeah. Celebrate your freedom. Go out tonight. Ring a bell. Anybody's bell. I don't care. Yeah, that right now. You can ring bells of same gender people, opposite gender people, no gender people. I don't care. In Friendly Town, we will celebrate everyone's freedom as long... As long as you don't eat hummus too much, you're fine. But the people of Bonnemieberg, let me tell you, the massacres that we experienced, the exploding disco balls. That's what I call it when the bad girls come to town. Nonetheless, we had a good time. It was a good war. I think it was worth it in the end. The nightmares are completely worth it, I'm sure. The night terrors. I miss Krampus. His warm touch. The knights in the foxhole. That was the bar we went to after the battles. That was the thing, but it was a hard time out there. And I know tonight you're going to go out and you're going to light your fireworks. You're going to butt-chug your wine and do what you all do. But don't forget that good men and women died on the battlefield. Over at the roller rink, to guarantee you this freedom you enjoy. And my God, the good news is when it was all over, Bad Girls was the number one song for the entire month of July, 1979. And we didn't have to deal with shit again with the Bonnemieberg radio station until December, when suddenly the Pina Colada song took over and disco was dead forever, guys. We lost in a way. We have the memories. We have the memories and the powdered wigs. Not sure why we have the powdered wigs. Anyway, I don't wear the chains. So I don't believe in stolen valor. I just like to say this though. Tonight, I'm going to put on my disco chains at home and share a little celebratory dance in honor of all the people we lost at Studio 54 and a half at Friendly Town. Thank you.
Thank you for your service, Private Ryan. You'll always be my Sharona. Now, to follow up that stirring rendition, we have another one of Friendly Town's fabled storytelling mayors. Please welcome Mayor Todd Lewis, bartending Mayor Todd Lewis.
Now that's Master Todd Lewis. I did not spend 6 years at Friendly Town Community College Suntan Beds and Pizza Paradise to just be called Mayor. Today I am going to recount for y'all the Battle of Shadorn's Bulge, which was a battle that took place right outside of Friendly Town's original industrial complex that made putt-putt golfing handles. Now, in the summer of 79, round about August, there was nothing but Three's Company reruns on television, and the men didn't have a lot to do. Now, the 4th Friendly Town Cavalry had went to the Bulge that afternoon, and it was a hot August day. Now, if you're wondering why they had cavalry in 1979, they had to do something with the horses from Big John's Horses Emporium, and they figured they'd make a cavalry regiment. Well, they had gotten excited at the river that day and forgot to tie up their horses. Now, they had heard that if you lead a horse to water, you can't make it drink. What they had not heard is that if you don't tie up your horse on a hot August day, it will leave the fuck you there. So they did not have their horses when they took to the battlefield that day. They had only their sabers. They had to ride on top of each other, piggyback style, to into battle. Which was not a problem, because the QEDopolis Rifle Regiment that day, the 8th, they had all brought their ammunition, but not their rifles. Because due to budget constraints, it was one man, one clip of ammunition. So they just had bullets. And so while the cavalry was riding piggyback on top of each other's shoulders, the rifleman was just going pew, pew, pew. And it was the only battle in the war that had very light casualties, because a few of the men and women did die of embarrassment. But none of actual combat wounds. However, it is the most decorated battle of the war, because both sides lied famously on their battle reports about what had happened that day. The cavalry was led by Spaghetti Davy, who back in them days was known as a very handsome gentleman. And this was the late 70s. If you called a gentleman a handsome gentleman, you'd better hope that everyone agreed with you, or they would think that you had certain peculiar tendencies. Of course, Spaghetti Davy was a dog. So everyone agreed. In fact, the 4th Cavalry Regiment had missed a battle the week before because they was playing fetch with that dog. And the high command tried to replace him, and the men rioted and rioted on. The QEDopolis side was also very highly decorated. The Commander Carson, he gave the distinguished QED Medal of Valor. However, when he showed up, he had led the men that day, and they did not notice that he had been decapitated. Trying to jump over 4 buses on his motorcycle the night before, and everybody got very embarrassed. The medal just fell right from his collar to the ground. Anyway, that's the story of Shadon's Bulge. I have been Master Todd Lewis. Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Master Bartending Mayor Todd Lewis. That was an illuminating look into one of Friendly Town's biggest battles, but also not so much. Our next storyteller is Mayor Josh Arnold, who is here to regale us with some events that I'm sure will chill you to the bone or liven your spirits or something like that. Mayor Josh Arnold.
If
Few people know that my grandfather was in that war, much like Clinton's. And I'm here to talk about it. Some of the lesser known facts of the war, War of Independence. It was actually the War of Independence, not like being independent, but independent people. He worked for a record store. For a group of people that likes to do it yourself, they still made an army. Go figure. I was kind of hoping that more people would mention songs, which it seems like they did, which is good, because that's noteworthy. And so I want to talk about my grandfather. He, ironically, despite being in a battle based around a record store, there's a disturbing lack of records about it. He was upset with neighboring villages that wanted to start making their vinyl records out of chocolate. Apparently that's been going around. I don't know what the fuck that's about. How many died? How many DIY'd in that battle? How many? A lot. I don't understand how two villages who, one's Friendly Town, one's Chum Village, Friendly, Chummy, they don't get along despite two villages named after being pretty agreeable. That's weird. This is his hat. You might think it's for Eastern Air Conditioning. It was Eastern Armored Company. Don't disrespect my grandfather, please. Tyler talks about the Corgan files, which was sort of looked into by a private company during the war. I won't over-explain it like QED used to. Don't need proof. Do the math. That's a math joke. That's fine. I thought it was funny that Ring My Bell was mentioned, because you know it was about the Liberty Bell. And, you know, I need a ward off Chum Village, my grandfather would say all the time. And my grandfather in 1979 was hot stuff at the Donna Summer on the battlegrounds, the BGs, if you will. He was an everyman, a village people in the Navy for Friendly Town. And he died defending those records. Firing weapons that were measured in RPMs, ironically. So, remember him. Thank you.
Give it up for war hipster Joshua Arnold, Mayor Joshua Arnold. Now, that concludes the storytelling portion. We have a special presentation tonight. We have three students from the local elementary school who have prepared a dramatic reenactment. So please welcome from Friendly Town Elementary's Historical Reenactment Club, Lucas McCrary, Walt Braley, and Reese Kitts.
Hello, my name is Miss Allred. I teach at Friendly Elementary School. I presented this opportunity to where if my students wanted to earn extra credit, they would reenact a battle, actually, and they would perform it for you guys at this town meeting. So, if you will, my fifth graders.
Hello. We are from Friendly Town Elementary School. We are in Miss Aldred's class. So, on the night of December 24th, 1980, the Chum Village versus the Friendly Town were at a standoff. Uh-oh. Now, it's Christmas Eve, and they want to celebrate Christmas, but they hate each other. What do they do? Maybe a truce? Let's find out. From representing Friendly Town is our very own future football star, Reese Kitts. And from the Chum Village side, boo! We have we have our future bartender, Walt Braley. And scene. Go scene.
Thank you for having me, Friendly Town. Do you like your spaghetti?
Yeah, I like it a lot.
Set the scene there in a Italian restaurant, right in between the trenches of the two villages.
Meatballs are good. I like meatballs.
These are good. You did not lie, even though I know you're kind or treacherous.
Just know after this meal, we're back on opposite sides, and I will try to kill you.
Not if I try to kill you first.
But only after we eat this meal. Slow down. Your cup is empty. Would you like some water?
Yes. That'd be great. I am parched. When?
Is that Santa here on the roof?
I told you he'd be here.
God?
No, idiot, it's Santa.
Really?
Yeah, did you not read the script?
No, Santa comes this way.
I hope he brought the things I wish for.
I drank a lot of the water.
You should have drank it.
I drank it for water. You should have drank it. I can't wait for my presents.
Oh. Screw you, Friendly Town.
I told you he likes me better.
He said, screw you.
You're Friendly Town, you amateur.
And scene.
Thank you very much to the fifth grade class. That was enjoyable and surprisingly accurate. They must have done some primary research on that. I would like to thank you all for attending this storytelling hour of the Friendly Town Historical Society.
What? Eat cake.
Is that all I have to say to get applause? Okay, eat cake! Eat cake! That guy gets it. That is the Friendly Town way, to eat cake. And reminder, on Friendly Town, on the day we celebrate Friendly Town's Day of Independence, do not light fireworks. We light fireworks 364 days a year. Independence Day is the one day we do not light fireworks. Reminder.
Thank you.
Yes, so a reminder to not do that. And if you want to go celebrate that sham of an Independence Day in 2 days, you're free to go do that, whatever. Friendly Town, we don't care what you celebrate, but remember, no fireworks. And so thank you for attending this recounting of the Friendly Town War of Independence event. I would like to thank all of our mayors, our masters, our eyewitnesses, our drunken rednecks, chief of neurosurgery, and our fifth grade children for all your wonderful stories tonight. Thank you. I have been historical leader, Mayor Sean Simoneau. Have a good night.